open ears as I read from the book that we love. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Oh Lord our God, we come into this room, we sit under these words, we've sung together these songs, and I recognize that as we come here, we do come from all sorts of different places. Some of us come in here filled with celebration, filled with joy and excitement. Others of us come in here and we are messed up. Not all is well with us. We are downcast. Some of us are devastated. Others of us are flat out exhausted. And Lord, yet still, some of us come in here and we have believed in you since the earliest we can remember. Others of us come in here and we're not sure if you're real. We're not sure if these words will have any effect on the things in our lives that matter the most. And I pray, oh God, that whatever place we find ourselves in today, whether we come here with joy or despair, whether we come here with faith in you or incredible doubt, I pray that you would give us grace to see that in the way that matters the most, that every single one of us here is ultimately the same. We all have an unrelenting need to hear from you, to know you, and to be changed by you. I pray that you would show us how you have addressed this need in the person of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning and welcome to Ironworks. It's great to be with you. This is a very special service for us, as we're going to be having a baptism. We are going to be receiving new members, and then we're going to be admitting one of the children to the Lord's table. So it's got packed full of service. I'm going to do my best to preach a sermonette, but the last time I said that, it turned into a sermon. So I'm not going to say that this time, because it probably will be a real sermon, but here we go. So back in the year 2011, this church was constituted in the month of May, and we had started off with 6 people. We quickly grew to an amazing 12. That was a huge milestone, and I was hitting the street trying to welcome and invite more folks to join this band of 12 people. One of the things I did as a business person was I attended the local business networking group. And I would give my pitch. Some of you have heard me share this before. I would give my pitch when it was my turn to practice my elevator pitch, and it went something like this. Hi, we're starting a church. We would invite you to come and give your life away for this church. And that was my pitch. And, you know, the folks in the room didn't quite know how to encourage me, you know, in my delivery. But you know what's funny, friends? God did this. And God is doing it today. I am so deeply impressed by the men and women and children who are coming up here this morning that all I can say is that God has done this, and God has built this church into something that is remarkably special as we balance the various paradoxes that are our lives. And so, for example, Ironworks has become a place where excellence is deeply valued, but so is brokenness. We strive for excellence while we acknowledge our own brokenness. Ironworks loves tradition, and yet we're also passionate about innovation. We want to build something really strong right here in Phoenixville, and yet we want to give away as much as possible to the work of church planting. We want to care deeply about the individual, and yet we want the church to grow to a larger size. And I say this because God has built this here, and my simple exhortation to you this morning is attempting to address this question: how can each and every one of you, whether you're a child coming to the Lord's table or wanting to come, or whether you're a senior saint, how can each and every one of you have the absolute most spiritual joy in Christ as you live life in this church? That's the simple question I'm seeking to address this morning, both to our new members and towards those of you who have been members for some time. And I have 3 points. Number one, embrace God's variety. Secondly, fulfill your calling. And thirdly, in Ironworks fashion, drink deeply. All right, embrace God's variety, fulfill your calling, and drink deeply. First, embrace your variety. What we've come to find is that the deepest friendships oftentimes are formed over a bond, over something that two people have in common that affects the very core of who they are, right? Two people that have a bond over something in common that they affects the very core of who they are. So, for example, you might have a bond with someone over a hobby, right? It is not the same as a bond with someone over the vitality of your shared child, right? There's a difference in that bond, and the bonds that we share that are found in the things that matter most to us become the strongest friendships. And what we find in God's design for the church is that it is intended to become a collection of people with different personalities, different talents, different backgrounds, different ancestries, ethnicity, minds, and even different sins. Those people becoming family as they enjoy this bond that they have with others who know God as they do. Right? That is God's design. You'll see this word varieties repeated several times in verse 4. And I say this because oftentimes I find in myself and I find in others that variety is not something pursued. So when I was serving as an intern in New York City, my best friends was person who would receive emails for folks interested in home groups. And one time he got an email that went something like this: "Hi, I'm 26, male, Asian, athletic, good looking, and I want to find a group with people like me. Do you have anything for that?" And I say that because, you know, we laugh at that because he was truthful about it. But at the same time, I find in myself and in others that oftentimes the conflicts we experience stem from a failure to embrace variety. But God, my friends, has designed the church to have a profound variety, okay? That you will be called to walk with people whom you would never be friends with otherwise. In fact, just yesterday, I was talking to someone, and this person was just, we were enjoying what God has done at Ironworks as we've talked about it. And one thing she said to me is this: "I have a friendship with a person at Ironworks that I would never have were it not for what God is doing. That we would never just naturally become friends, but we have because of what God is doing in us." And this is a person who's embraced the variety. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer has a helpful quote on this. This is what he says: "Those who love their dream of a Christian community more than the Christian community itself become destroyers of that Christian community, even though their personal intentions may ever be so honest, earnest, and sacrificial." And so, dear friends, as you are coming into membership here, or those of you who have been members for some time, my first exhortation to you is this: embrace what God is doing in the variety here. My pastor's wife, and when we were in New York City, she used to compare the church to a coral reef, right? Not because it would injure you if you touched it, but because she said it attracted the most exotic fish. And she said this, she said, "You know, I have just learned to enjoy the fish. Sometimes they come and they stay for a long time, other times their stay is short, but I have come to enjoy all of the fish that God brings to our coral reef." C.S. Lewis has another helpful quote. He says this. He says, "When I first became a Christian about 14 years ago, I thought I could do it on my own by retiring to my rooms and reading theology, and I wouldn't go to the churches and gospel halls. I disliked very much their hymns, which I considered to be fifth-rate poems set to sixth-rate music." Wonder how he really feels. "But as I went on, I saw the great merit of it. I came up against different people of quite different outlooks and different education, and then gradually my conceit just began peeling off. For I realized that the hymns, which were just sixth-rate music, were nevertheless being sung with devotion and benefit by an old saint in elastic-side boots in the opposite pew. And then you realize that you are not fit to clean those boots. It gets you out of your solitary conceit. And so I want to say to those of you joining, as you do life here among us, it's my prayer that we will welcome you with the hospitality of Jesus Christ, but you will run into folks who are very different than you, that you would never become friends with otherwise. And God's strong call on your life is to embrace his variety. Embrace his variety. That's the first thing. Secondly, fulfill your calling. So look with me, if you would, at verse 7 that I want to focus on. Speaking of each person in the church, the epistle writer says this. He says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit to the common good. And then going backwards, in verse 6, he says, it's the same God who empowers all the activities that folks do in everyone. Okay, and I want to ask you this question. How would you know if God chose to work powerfully in a collection of people? What might you expect to see? Right? How would we know if God's power descends on us? So virtually every big email I send ends with Psalm 90. And in Psalm 90, the prayer says, let your glorious power be shown to our children. I prayed that this morning for my own children. Let your glorious power be shown to them. How would we know if that might be happening in our midst? And what this passage says to us in verse 6 is that God's power is shown when every single person uses their unique gifts for what? For the common good, friends. If you want to thrive in God's church, whether it be at Ironworks or somewhere else, the way to do it is to flat out reject the consumerism in which we live and to devote your lives to the use of your gifts to the common good. And I'll tell you, friends, that pastors every so often receive a really fun statement. I want to get a plaque for it. And I understand it. I'm not trying to pick on it too much. But we receive this fun statement that says something like this. Pastor, we have to talk. Yes, let's talk. I am not being fed right now here. I say, oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that. How can I help? And we go into that. And I'll tell you that I don't think I've ever had a conversation like that that didn't end in the person leaving the church. Well, maybe one. I'll take that back. But anyway, it's a common issue. And, it's interesting. When a pastor hears that, when I hear that, I'll tell you one of the first things I do is I look at my own teaching and I ask the Lord, help me address whatever is deficient in it. I don't dismiss it. I don't ignore it. But however, here's one of the things that I do feel and that I would tell you, right? A lot of the time, that criticism comes from someone who is approaching the church, not in the spirit of this passage, but to consume, right? My consuming, my desire to be a consumer is not being met, so the American economic system has taught me to go elsewhere. And friends, I'll tell you that grieves my heart. Why? Because if someone's going to, we've transferred folks to other churches and they are thriving there, using their gifts, and I delight and rejoice in that. But if you do not approach church as a place for which God has uniquely gifted and called you to bless other people, you cannot be successful in that church, friends. It is impossible to be successful in that place. Because God's very purpose, his very intention, the very activity he is doing according to verse 6 is empowering you so that the common good is benefited, right? And it's interesting, verse 7, he uses this word manifestation, right? What is manifestation? Well, when you make something manifest, you show what's on the inside. And he says God's Spirit is manifest when each serves for the common good. So that's this idea of fulfill your calling. And friends, I want to actually tell you that as I was writing this sermon, I was so deeply moved by all of these folks who are coming forward today. So I'm going to pick on a couple of them. For example, I happen to observe both Patrick Gallagher and Dan Gallagher devoting an entire day to serving a person in this church as a gift to them. I happen to see them do that. David Tower is coming in, and I just kept hearing reports from the Pumpkin Fest team that they did not know how this single person could be pumpky for 9 hours. 9 hours, guys. You try to do it for 15 minutes and, you know, entertaining kids. Tim and Kathleen, I'm not sure if they're here today, but they are new to the church and yet stepped up to serve with Pumpkin Fest in a remarkable way. Mark and Deb Fretz, I think almost every email that I send out from the church, I get a response of interest and a desire to help and to serve. Right? Linda Lindberg is remarkably hospitable and a blessing to our family as they have sought to show us hospitality. And friends, I want to tell you something, that as I have thought about what God is doing in these folks as they come forward, and I've thought about the elders recommending to me and approving a sabbatical, I want to just tell you a quick story about it. When it first looked like this was going to be a reality, if you haven't read the email, I'll be on sabbatical from December through March. All right, the first thing I thought was, well, who's going to do all the things I do at church? How's it going to work? Is Ironworks going to fall apart? Right? Am I going to come back to a call center in the iron office? Right? And over time, as I have reflected on what God is doing, and as I have heard from other pastors, I have come to understand that what God is doing is answering some prayers that I prayed months ago. You see, the number one desire, every year we sort of have an initiative that sort of is the main thing. And this year for me, the number one initiative is that Ironworks would transition from being a church that's more in a startup mode, right, where, you know, everything ultimately flows to some extent through the pastor, to where Ironworks becomes a more established church at which the pastor can step back and things thrive and people step up and that take incredible ownership. And I have seen you this year, so many of you, do that very thing. And friends, one of the things I've come to learn, and I was actually encouraged by another pastor, he said, when my pastor went on sabbatical and took some time off, he said the church forever changed for the better because of it. Because that sabbatical made space for people to take ownership like never before. And friends, I want to just give you a couple of requests, right? These are some things that Darren tends to worry about here, right? One of the things I do every Monday is ask the question, can we make payroll? Right? Does anyone here have, business owners are all smiling at me, right? And, you know, I'll run the report. I have a Unix script now that will calculate everything for me, which is really helpful. And I ask this question, and I, you know, bring these needs to the Lord, right? I'm not going to be doing that for the next 3 months, for the next 4 months, right? We do, our session is appointing someone to look after that, but you know what I thought? Wouldn't it be better if all of you looked after that? Wouldn't it be better if you, on Monday morning, or open up the worship guide to look at the previous week and say, how are we doing? And then you brought that to God in prayer. Because you are owners of this church, if you're members. That's what you are. Right? This is your church, and God has been making that so clear to me lately. And, you know, I hope that as I've thought about this, it occurred to me that the way, according to this passage, for more joy, for more satisfaction in your lives, is to focus on fulfilling your calling. All right, that's the second point. Focus on fulfilling your calling. Now, how will you be able to do that? And how will you be able to do that? Where would you get power for that? And what in the world is happening with Peter Rolson today, anyway? I think that we're going to address all of those things. So where will you get power to do that? What is going on with Peter, who will be baptized in a few minutes here? And this is what we find here. You'll notice that as Paul is talking about the church, in verse 13, he says, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and listen to this, and we're all made to drink of one spirit. And friends, what Paul is pointing out here is this, that the reason we love the sacraments, that's baptism and the Lord's table, we do the Lord's table every week, the reason we love that is because that is where we find God's deepest blessing and the power to serve like the way I've just been exhorting you to. Right? How can you serve in the way I just exhorted you to? How might you get power to do that? And what this passage seems to indicate is you do that as you drink deeply of the way God treats you in Jesus Christ. Right? We ask this question, what's happening as we baptize Peter Olson? He's only a few weeks old. Right? Probably, or we can say certainly, will not remember what's happening. Why are we baptizing him? Right? The Reformed answer that we hold to is that as you raise this young man, you will say to him, God set his unconditional love upon you before you could do anything. Before you could do anything for him, he said to you, you are mine and I love you. And as you raise him in that reality, he will receive power to fulfill the unique calling that God has on his life. Right? And same for you, right? Where will you receive the strength to do this? Where will you receive the power to reject American consumerism that comes in our ears and faces a lot more than all the scripture and preaching that we hear? Where will you receive power to do that? And the answer is not by just trying hard, but by looking at what Christ has done for you in the Lord's table and drinking it in to the very core of your being. Say, my identity is that I am loved deeply. The one who was loved deeply is able to love freely. And so my final exhortation to all of us this morning, if we want to thrive as disciples of Jesus Christ, is that we drink deeply of him at this table. Amen. Well, friends, what I want you to do now is we're going to invite up some folks to come forward. Let's see here.